ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 4, Text 10. Tvam Sevatam Surakrita Bahavo Antaraya Svauko Vilangya Paramam व्रजताम् पदम् ते नान्यस्य बर्हिषि बलिन् ददतः स्वभागान् धत्ते पदम् त्वम् अविता यदि विघ्नमूर्ध्नि। त्वां सेवतां सुरकृता बहवोऽन्तराया त्वां सेवतां सुरकृता बहवोऽन्तराया स्वौको विलङ्घ्य परमं व्रजतां पदां ते स्वौको विलङ्घ्य परमं व्रजतां पदं ते नान्यस्य बर्हिषि बलिं ददतः स्वभागान् नान्यस्य बर्हिषि बलिं ददतः स्वभागान् ते पदं त्वमविता यदि विघ्नमूर्ध्नि। दत्ते पदं त्वमविता यदि विघ्नमूर्ध्नि। त्वां सेवतां सुरकृता भावोऽन्तराया स्वौको विलङ्घ्य परमं व्रजतां पदं ते नान्यस्य बर्हिषि बलिं ददतः स्वभागान् दत्ते पदं त्वमविता यदि विघ्नमूर्ध्नि। नान्यस्य
yasya barhishi balinda dato svabhagan. Tam seva tam subhakrita bhagavantadaya. Ilanya paramam vrajatam padamte. Anyasya barishi balinda datasva bhagam. Te padam tamavitaya divigna murti.
Matajis.
Tam seva tam prakrita bhavantaraya. Sabarishi balinda data svabhagan. Tate padam bhagutai divigna murti. Vasevatam kripita bhavantaraya.
Sevatam, for those who are serving. Surakrita, made by the demigods. Bahava, many. Antaraya, disturbances. Svaokaha, their own abode. The planets of the demigods. Vilangya, crossing beyond. Paramam, the supreme. Vrajatam, who are going. Padam, to the abode. Te, your. Na, there are not such. Anyasya, for another. Barhishi, in ritual sacrifices. Balin, offerings. Dadataha, for one who is giving. Svabhagan, the own shares of the demigods. Datte, the devotee places. Padam, his foot. Tvam, you. Avita, the protector. Yadi, because. Vigna, of the disturbance. Murdni, upon the head. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. The demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Purport. The demigods headed by Kamadeva or Cupid, recognizing their offense at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Naranara and Rishi, here point out the insignificant position of the demigods in relation to the Supreme Lord. Just as a farmer must pay a specific percentage of his agricultural profit to the king or political head as tax money, all human beings must offer a percentage of their material wealth to the demigods in sacrifice. In Bhagavad Gita, however, the Lord explains that the demigods are also his servants, and it is He Himself who awards all benedictions through the agency of the demigods. Mayeva vihitan hitan. Although a Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord has no need to worship the demigods being proud of their exalted material position, sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of the Vaishnava to the Lord and thus try to cause the devotee to fall down. As described in this verse, Surakrita Bahavo Antaraya. But the demigods here point out that Krishna is directly the protector of his devotees. Therefore, so-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. The demigods here state, "We thought, our dear Lord, that we could disturb your consciousness by our foolish tricks. But by your mercy, even your devotees pay little regard to us. So why should you take our foolish behavior seriously?" The word yadi here is used to indicate the certainty that Krishna is always the protector of his surrendered devotees. Although there may be many obstacles on the path of the sincere devotee who is preaching the glories of the Lord, such obstacles increase the determination of the devotee. Therefore, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the continuous obstacles presented by the demigods form a kind of ladder or stairway upon which the devotee steadily progresses back to the kingdom of God. A similar verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 10 through 33. Tathanate madhava tavaka kvachid brashyanti marga tvai baddha saurida tvaya bigupta vicharanti nirbhaya vinaya kani pamurda suprabho. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamcha Kaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shatarine, Vanchakal Pataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha, Patitanam Pavane Vyo, Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Seeking the mercy of all the senior devotees present here, especially Nartaki Mataji, I'd like to begin this small discussion on 11.4.10, which is today's verse. अभ्यास कम कर दो ना. सो द 11th कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर्स कंसिस्ट ऑफ अ डिस्कशन बिटवीन अ किंग एंड 9 सेजेस. द किंग इन कॉन्टेस्ट हियर इज किंग निमि एंड द 9 सेजेस are collectively known as Nava Yogendra. Nava is 9. Yogendra, they are great yogis. In our Kali Yuga atmosphere today, it could be seen as a big irregularity that a king is asking about avatar leelas, he's asking about transcendence, he's asking about so many other things. So much so that somebody would say, you don't have a kingdom to manage, you don't have to expand your borders. Like a businessman would ask about what's the goal of life. Ask anyone today and they would say to make money. Oh, sorry, not make money, more money. Actually, one friend here told me that money is not the important part of my life. Money is the most important part of my life. So, believe it or not, actually believe it, there was a time when, like all of us sitting here, we don't count ourselves as the most important citizens of Mumbai city. In fact, some of us feel that, what can I do? I have so many problems in life. I don't have a job. I don't have career prospects. I want to achieve this. I want to achieve that. And someone said, you come to this temple regularly, it's good luck. You will get whatever you want. Some are disturbed mentally, so much stress, depression, anxiety. You come here in this hallowed atmosphere and you feel a little bit of respite, a little bit of release. It could be true. Our current material position could be true. But the Shastra doesn't treat us like this. In one discourse, in a conversation, Prabhupada said, he told one disciple, you should be treating your God brothers as if they are more exalted than kings. And he was surprised. King? Kings sitting here? Prabhupada said, why? Because they have asked questions fit for a king. Now I know some of you must be feeling that I just come to the class. I don't have big, deep questions. Fair enough. Attendance in Bhagavatam class is a sure shot sign that you are inquisitive. Sometimes you may feel, why don't I have any questions? Is something wrong with me? No. Perhaps your previous quota of devotional service is so nice. It's a fact. It's a fact. I'm not trying to flatter you first thing in the morning. That you may feel that I guess I just came, I picked up the beads, I started chanting, prasadam was good, association was good, and my life is going on. So it doesn't require a big calamity for you to feel that, you know, I didn't ask the questions or whatever.
But rest assured, obstacles will come. And that is the fiber of today's verse, obstacles. So the king asked, he just shot off one question after another. And as if in harmony, as if in tandem, one brother spoke, then the next, then the next, then the next. All nine answered King Nimi's questions. And for our benefit, they were recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this fourth chapter, one of the Yogendras by the name of Drumila, he is answering these questions. This is verse 10. So the story so far, and it's a bit unusual thing, that Avatar Katha comes here. Who is an avatar? Why does the Lord take this incarnation? This is a favorite thing of mine. I heard it from Ridhanand Maharaj in one of his classes, who is a great Sanskrit scholar, that the word incarnation and the word avatar, they don't exactly corroborate with each other. Although we use the word incarnation so many times, and English has, the dictionary gives only one synonym for avatar. Sanskrit English dictionary, avatar, incarnation. And for the changing of bodies, which you and me do, I mean, we are forced to do that, that is called reincarnation. So there is this element of the living entity also getting new bodies, reincarnation, and Krishna or the Supreme Lord taking new and new bodies, that is also incarnation. Karne, C-A-R-N-E, is a Greek root which actually means flesh. Carnivorous. See? That means one who eats flesh. So, this is the Western idea that incarnation, incarne, in flesh, something which is spirit has now come into flesh. And the idea there was spirit means which can't be seen. Obviously, spiritual. How can you see that? Some of the bogus sadhus or gurus, babas, they speak spiritual topics and their disciples, if you ask them, what did he say today? Oh, it was spiritual. What do you mean? How could I understand? It is all spiritual. Not that kind of thing. So, incarnation, what is spirit, now has taken flesh, so it is seen in front of you. God becomes flesh. God comes in human form. And very beautifully, Krishna has negated this idea in the Bhagavad Gita. Avjananti maam mudha manushim tanum ashritam. See Krishna's choice of words. Tanum ashritam. Tanu is body. Ashritam means ashray. When I take a human form, fools deride me. Mudha, fools. So what is the reincarnation which you and me are undergoing? The Bhagavatam says, karma bandhanam. That's not, it's not a leisurely type of thing. It is not you do it in a happy way. You are forced to give a very contemporary example. There's a fashion show and there are models who are, like there are big, big names, designer, dress designers. So, so-and-so is showing off his latest collection. And a few models, they wear that cloth, the dress, and they come before and there are photographers. You know what I mean. So, that is something which somebody has created, different dresses, and people have taken those dresses, and now we are, that's a celebration. What if in a prison house, if prisoners, they also say, every day we have our new dress. Can we have a fashion show in a prison house? No. You are forced to take the dress of a prisoner. And I don't think there are any choices. You just have that same striped one every day. Can a prisoner come and tell his boss that bell bottom is not in vogue nowadays? Could you just tailor our clothes so that they are a bit tighter, so that it is in fashion? You will wear what we give. That is karma bandhan. So although there is variety in this material world, 8.4 million types of clothes are available. So there is a lot of variety. And the living being says, whoa, soar like a bird, swim like a fish, jump like a monkey, or stay in the forest, be a free bird. The Bhagavatam says, no sir, there is no freedom actually here. All these bodies are simply different varieties of karma bandhan. So in that immature stage, the living being thinks that it's not fair when I take different bodies, it is karma bandhan, and when these dashavatars, they come here, that is lila. My bandhan and his lila. So because of that rebellious attitude, he said, no, he also has to have karma bandhan. God also has to have karma. Why not? He's here right now, we see. So once Prabhupada explained, just like a king may visit a prison house, he may visit anything. He may go for forest to hunt, he may go to his resort, he may go to some other palace to stay. But one day the king may say, let me see the state of the prisoners. Anyone prohibiting him? Any law saying you can't? Or any law saying it doesn't become you? It is very low class for you to visit your own prison house. So no, I'm going there to see the condition of his prisoners and see if I can pardon some of them. So the king is today in the prison. And if somebody says, he also did something wrong. No, he didn't do anything wrong. You are the one who has done something wrong. What is the proof? What is the evidence that the king is not under the control of the laws? Two things. The first thing, the prisoners never understand, that he came of his own sweet will. He told them, Monday, 10 o'clock, I'm coming. They said, all right. Normally when something like that happens, they make them clean and scrub everything properly. And Monday, 4 o'clock, I'm leaving. So when they see that he's leaving on his own accord, some of them, not all of them, but some of them may think that, let us try that same thing. If they tell the warden, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, I'm leaving. He said, we're leaving. You are our guest for the next 17 years. Somebody for 10 years, somebody for 15 years. So this is karma bandhan. You cannot get out of your own will. So avatar is the word used in Vedic literature. Ava, coming down. Somebody from a highest position of his own will comes down. And Tara,
Taran, Tirtha. These are the two words coming from that Sanskrit root. So one meaning of Tara is to deliver. Uddharan. To lift somebody up. Lift somebody from their state of karma bandhan to the state of liberation from material laws. That's the duty, or that's the fruit of associating with an avatar. And we have the word Tirtha. Tirtha basically means a sacred body of water or a sacred plot of land. We say Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Tirtha, Dwarka, Rameshwar. So India is full of them. Are there any Tirthas outside? Many people say, in fact, there are some Indians now who say, oh, why the avatars come only in India? As if we have too many of them, as if we don't need so many of them. Isn't it a boon that we have that? Actually speaking, avatars have come all part of the world, throughout the world, throughout the planets. But because of the Kali Yuga situation today, most places have become obscure. And slowly, even in India, that process is already there. By Mahaprabhu's mercy, Vrindavan Dham was Prakashila. Prakash means light. Like in total darkness, even these beautiful paintings can't be seen. But then you have all these lights, and suddenly you see, oh, such nice beautiful things. So unless Krishna comes or his important representative comes, the Dham which is already there, it doesn't come in Prakash. It doesn't come as a revelation. So this is the Avatar Katha, and at the end of this chapter, Drumila Rishi, he enumerates so many times these stories have come in Bhagavatam, but it's always a joy to read them again and again and again. Now we come to the, it's a very, how would I put it? It's a strange thing. In this verse, if those who already have your verse in your mobile or whatever, read it carefully. The demigods are making a confession here. And I don't think any other part they are so candid about it. The demigods are saying, they're talking about themselves, that demigods place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods place before him. Why should demigods be envious? Why should they be envious of a devotee who is trying to serve Krishna? The Vedas say envy is a natural thing in this material world. For no reason we can be envious. And simply put, what envy is, why he has a bigger car? Oh, you don't have a vehicle? No, I have, but his one looks a little bit more shiny today. In my college days, there was a marketing class, and I don't remember the whole thing, but there was a case study of two things, one detergent manufacturer and one television manufacturer. So the detergent advertisement went like this, Bhali uski sadi meri sadi se safed kaise? I don't know, the younger people may not remember, but so just because somebody's sari is more brighter than yours, and you say, why? The second was a television manufacturer ad where a nice TV screen was shown, and tash! A stone comes from the window and the screen is broken. And the line comes there, neighbor's envy, owner's pride. Our TVs are so nice that your neighbors are tempted to break the screen with stones. Although it was in a very negative way, it touched a raw nerve somewhere. In terms of effectiveness, in terms of audience recollection, these two were very high. Why? Because the emotions are live. We hardly remember the praise which we give to someone. But we do remember even one word of envy, one word of somebody says something wrong, somebody says something against us. We never forget that. Why? Because this material world is a place for envy in one sense. It is surcharged with envy. So in the last two verses, the event or the incident, it goes like this. Tapasya is a great virtue, and there are many tapasvis. Nowadays we don't see them, but traditionally sadhus would be staying outside a particular village or a cluster of villages, or people could see that, oh, such and such place there are sadhus doing tapasya. In my childhood, I used to visit a place called Kaneri Caves, Borivali. They were not meant for picnickers. They were meant for tapasvis. And a few years ago, I had visited this Ellora Caves near Aurangabad. They too were given to tapasvis. Whoever comes can stay there. So, Krishna, when he comes, in order to show the best form of tapasya, obviously, is Krishna. So, he's a supreme enjoyer. Can an enjoyer be a tapasvi also? In our sense, no. But Krishna is an all-rounded personality. So, when it comes to following rules and regulations, as Lord Ramchandra, when you read the Ramayana, you feel, why is he so strict in following? Tell Kaikeyi, I won't do this. The whole Janta is with you. All of Ayodhya is saying they are supporting you. So, that kind of feeling you get all the time when you read Ramayana. And thus the polar opposite sentiment comes when you read Krishna Katha. That at least follow a few rules, some at least. So little bit physical rules at least. He's jumping from a mountain 80 miles high, or he's swallowing forest fire. But that's what it is. Krishna Leela, Leela Avatar, no rules. The same thing in Ram Avatar, all rules, all regulations. So similarly in Naranara and Rishi, all tapasya. And here is the hint that even demigods do not actually understand who their boss is, who the Supreme Lord is. So Indra, when he sees Narana and Rishi, now we should not find faults with Indra. There is a very deep understanding behind this. When the living entity falls in this material world, he gets a chance to become a Brahma first, then an Indra. So actually all of you, all of us, we have experienced what it means to be Indra. Think about it. It's really me, Indra? I'm struggling in this small apartment here in Bhayandar, Mira Road, Malad, Goregaon, Borivali, whatever. But yes, generally things go down. The graph always goes down like that. But Krishna, in his arrangement,
It's not like somebody has fallen, that means he immediately becomes a dog or a hog, whatever. That is a result of what you did previously. Anybody knows the qualifying exam for Indra? 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. Shatak Kratu. Kratu is a Yajna, name for Yajna. And Shata. So Indra sometimes signs his name as Kshakra. Shata Kratu, short form. Radha Govind Maharaj said in class. I don't know how far. Is it a joke or is it something? But Shakra is Indra's name in Rig Veda. And he is a royal personality. Royal is a understatement. It's like he has done all 100 and now he's achieved that. So the moment you come on that throne, you say, okay, bring on the dancing girls and the wine and start everything. I don't have much time left. And administrative duties, that we'll see later. Pani bhejna hai aur kya karna hai? What else you have to do? So regulate water, things, other things. So apart from the duties, as the days tick by, the first thing in mind is, this tenure is very less. Now from your and my point of view, Indra actually rules for millions of years. But no, the material mind always tells at the back some nagging thought. Your time may be slowly up. And while Indra is enjoying the perks, is enjoying the life of the topmost administrative demigod, the moment somebody shows there is a sadhu who is doing tapasya somewhere, is he after me? Has he told you anything? Has he declared that I also want the position of Indra? As long as your particular body is intact, nobody is going to touch you. But no, that feeling doesn't go away. Every day in Indra Sabha, there is lot of discussion, there is Bhagavat Katha, not Srimad Bhagavat, but other high topics. But there is so much of sense gratification that the essence of Bhagavad Katha gets simply washed away. I actually was wondering, how is it possible that something like this can happen? And then one devotee was describing the atmosphere in Hawaii. Honolulu, Hawaii, is part of the United States. It's not a contiguous state. It's not connected. It's in the Pacific. Prabhupada was invited there. And then Prabhupada saw. He went there. Ajamila Katha, sixth canto. Prabhupada gave a series of classes in Honolulu. And it became known among the ISKCON devotees at that time that this place doesn't rain much. It rains, but doesn't rain much. Doesn't snow at all. For those who live in America, not snowing is like a big boon. Not too cold. It's neither too hot, nor too cold, not too much of rainfall. In fact, everything is just nice. Tropical fruits. And at one point of time, some sannyasi, I don't know which, but he coined the term, this atmosphere is sannyasi killer. Because you stay there and you open a Bhagavatam class and say that material life is miserable. And people say, miserable? You? So it's so difficult. Of course, Prabhupada insisted that we maintain the temple there. And in fact, one big supporter of ISKCON Pune, Mr. Barry Malhotra, he had gone from with his family for a pilgrimage to the West, Disneyland, Los Angeles,
New York City and Hawaii also. And there, on a Hawaii boulevard or a street, one American girl came and offered him a book. And he said, "Who are you?" I mean, it looked like Indian sari and tilak and chanting Hare Krishna, but American. So he was more curious. She said, "Please give this, take this book, give a donation." He gladly gave a donation and said, "Come tomorrow for Mangal Aarti." So he said, "Yes, I know what aartis are." So aarti generally 9 o'clock aarti, 10 o'clock aarti, afternoon aarti, evening aarti, 4:30 in the morning aarti. And he was surprised. Westerners performing aarti at 4:30 in the morning? I mean, we are from India. We don't go to the temple so early in the morning. So he thought this girl is lying. I mean, the book is nice, everything is nice, but I don't think these people can accept culture to that extent. So he rested early, put on his alarm, and actually reached there before 4:30, just to see how much are these people interested in following this culture. To his amazement, it was a small temple, only 8 or 10 devotees, and they all came and Samsara Dava, and then Narsimharti, then Tulsi Puja, they all started chanting. He said, "Who did this? Who taught you all of this?" They showed a picture of Prabhupada. I said, "Where is he?" He said, "He just visited this here few weeks ago. Now he's gone to America." He said, "But I can't believe it. This Indian sadhu comes here, teaches you something, tells you to follow this. Please follow this. And he's not there. He's not supervising." That thing hit him so hard. He said, "This is someone I have to meet." Then he followed Prabhupada to America, only to know that Prabhupada has gone to India. Then he came to India, in Bombay, that Prabhupada has gone to Vrindavan. So it was a very interesting thing for him. He went to Vrindavan, met Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "I'm coming to Bombay." Then he met in Bombay, and then he said, "Help me." And he supported ISKCON Pune for a long time. He's still the whole family. Wakefield is the brand which they own, the Malhotras, and a very good family. And Prabhupada gave him a lot of time. So the point here is, of course, we began with Hawaii. So Hawaii atmosphere is simply not meant for tapasya. And if you're not careful, you could be swayed away by that atmosphere. So, generally speaking, upper planets, bhoga bhumi. Lower planets, bhoga bhumi. Middle planets, karma bhumi. But it requires some explanation. The upper bhoga is material sense gratification. Why? Because you asked for it. Lower planets, again material sense gratification, but the punishing part. There's no enjoyment there. And the middle one, where you and me are there, situated, we are in karma bhumi. What you and me are doing today, of course, all of us are practicing devotional service, but in case somebody is not, but just interested in pious activity, he is filling his rocket with fuel. And after death, zoom, the rocket goes up and you enjoy Indra's celestial planets. Just like somebody may, you see these mobile ads, 3 days Goa, 2 days Ooty, 4 days Bahamas, 10 days Europe, and you save money. Package deal, 35,545. These are the kind of prices they give. You go there. Now, while you are in Paris, Do you see any recruitment ads or any employment ads? No, you are there just to enjoy. If somebody says, you are here, why don't you polish my shoes for 10 francs? I have come here to enjoy. Of course, they won't allow to work also, you to work also. Nowadays, the rules are strict. But bhoga bhumi means only enjoyment. And even if you want to work, you're not allowed. There is no impetus for work. What about what happens after the 4 days in Paris are over? Back to Virar local, 6:47 morning. That is karma bhumi, this world. What if in your office you cheat, defraud the office for 10 lakh rupees or something? Then it is 6 months in Arthur Road. There can you say that, you know, can you spice the dal a little bit? My mom is to make it in a very particular way. I don't know, I am habituated to eating dal like that. They said, take it or leave it. So in the lower planetary systems, it is more like punishment oriented. Nobody gives a dash as to what you like or don't like. But in our state here, we see our life a mixture of both. In the karma area, you see people going up in their life or down in their life. While in the karma area, and then afterwards you get the urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha, madhya tishtanti rajasa, jagannagana vrittistho, adho gacchanti tamasa. So Indra's personality is like that. He always gets insecure. And there are many other demigods who also may be insecure. And therefore they are saying, So Naranarayan Rishi is doing tapasya, and Indra sensing some kind of danger to his position, he actually, it's unthinkable how we can think of that, but he sends Cupid, Kamadev, to spoil Naranarayan Rishi's tapasya. Now what is the meaning of spoiling somebody's tapasya? Like classic case is Vishwamitra Muni. He is a king, a kshatriya, but he gets fascinated by the desire to become a brahmarshi. He says, I will become. He says, no, you are a king. You cannot become like that. He says, I will. I'll perform tapa. So he does. It is the bygone age. You have 100,000 years of lifetime. So he performs tapasya. But then Indra sends Menka. How does she come? Just the tinkling of her ankle bells. Now he is in a deep forest. Normally he shouldn't be disturbed. Cobras and reptiles and tigers and rhinos, they don't disturb him. But the one tinkling sound of the ankle bell, it's like you and me are non-different. We are chanting Hare Krishna with our eyes closed and you know the notification signal in your mobile phone. Or something like that. And you say, should I see it? No. Hey, what if it could be something important? And you say, okay. No, I am not coming there. It's not such a good idea. No, you have to come. No. Finally, you say, 45 minutes? I was chatting for 45 minutes? So this is how things got distracted. It began with just one notification. Ting. So Menaka distracted him. Then he said, okay, enough of this tapasya. He stayed with her for 1,000 years. They went through all the beautiful parts of that forest, lakes, waterfalls, caves, mountain tops, everywhere. After 1,000 years, Vishwamitra Muni is described as thinking, this whole thing passed as if just a moment. Oh, what I have done. And again he started performing tapasya. So at least Indra was thinking, chalo, one down. At least, ek to gaya, obstacle. Now they are not an obstacle on his path.
But he just feels like that. So now, here in this case of Naranarayan Rishi, Indra sends the usual Kamadeva with his orchestra. Kamadeva also has five weapons. Panchashara, five arrows. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha. Beautiful sound, Shabda, Sparsha, air. Vedic culture describes the soothing part of air as cooling and Sheetal and Manda. Mildly flowing air and very cool breeze. The breeze has to be cool and mild. That is sense gratifying. So that is Sparsha. Rupa, beauty in the form of flowers, fruits, trees. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, taste, beverages. And Gandha, maddening fragrance. So wherever Kamadeva goes, he brings this Vasanta Ritu, Vasantotsav with him. So that's what he did. And Naranarayan Rishi just looked at it and smiled. It's like ridiculous. Can you throw a bomb on the sun, your Diwali cracker, and expect any damage to happen on the sun's surface? It is 6,000 degrees centigrade on the periphery. The inner core, nobody knows. So, Naranarayan Rishi understood. Just see how Krishna utilizes these kind of events so that you and me can learn Krishna's exalted position. What did he do? He smiled and said, Indra, you are putting an obstacle in my tapasya here by sending these girls and this music and everything. From his own body, Naranarayan Rishi created a whole group of beautiful maidens. And he said, if you like, take. So Indra and his retinue, the demigods, they actually forgot why they came there. They came there to disturb Naranarayan Rishi. But when they saw the whole thing, they said, Finally they chose Urvashi. She said, she's good. She's the best. I said, okay, take her. And they actually took her up. What they had in mind, what they had come there for, and what ultimately they got is, God is good. What is the lesson for you and me here? I just took this one word, obstacle. And I thought that it is worth meditating on this concept of obstacles in our path. At least, I have a lot of obstacles on my path. I don't know about others. One of the major obstacles is faithlessness. And just the last 5-10 minutes or so, I would like to spend on that. His Holiness Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj once gave a series of talks, which also became a book, Obstacles on the Path of Pure Devotional Service. Some of you might have seen. It's worth reading them. He lists so many obstacles which he took in his seminar series. I am touching on the faith part today. In the first canto, Prabhupada describes the atmosphere today. This is 1.1.10, first canto, first chapter, 10th sloka, purport. He says the whole atmosphere today is surcharged with faithlessness. Interesting how Prabhupada pinpoints the cause and effect. Why there is so much of faithlessness? He says the Brahmacharya ashram, Brahmacharya as an ashram, is no longer maintained. Now,
we are somehow trying to prop it up in ISKCON, but as a whole it is not maintained. As a result, grihasthas don't have training in following rules and regulations. So grihasthashrami people, they don't have anyone to look up to, they don't have anyone to train them. And then Prabhupada says, what about the sannyasis and vanaprasthis coming from such a grihasthashram? Obviously they also deviate. Because of this kind of social situation, complex nations and communities are being formed. Look at your newspaper headlines today. Border violation, borders, airspace violation, little bit of here and there, and people are ready to start bombing other countries. You say, why do they have to fight like this, cats and dogs? I mean, even cats and dogs sometimes don't fight like that. Why? Because 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, people in Kali Yuga will be quarreling over a trifle. Some least insignificant thing is good enough for quarreling. It's almost as if like a container of gunpowder is always there. All it needs is a small wick. You just put it there and boom. And he pinpoints that with the idea that no one is interested in spiritual values and material sense gratification is the only standard. So this is a default setting. The moment, like you on your mobile phone or some gadget, there is a reset button. You press the reset button, everything goes to the factory values, factory settings. Similarly, this material world, the default setting is sense gratification. No one needs to be taught. No one needs to be educated. It is there. And that's why many people think it is natural. It is natural to be envious. It is natural to be proud. It is natural to feel greedy. No, it is not. This whole literature library given by Prabhupada is like Prabhupada like shouting from the rooftops. Your natural position is not to become envious. Your natural position is to serve. But how do we understand it? Unless we get a higher taste. So, the Vedas teach that every living entity is eternal, individual, and a spiritual spark. The spark is tiny. And that's why there is a tendency to misuse. It's not like material nature is all powerful. She is from one angle. But we are small, we are tiny. And therefore, we generally go between two kinds of emotions. To serve or not to serve. Only when you serve and you are happy, then you feel, okay, I'll give it another chance. Then you actually serve. Still, and you get some bliss. Say, hey, I never realized this. I think I must have shared this before. I must have. Sure, it's a favorite example of mine. Me and one brahmachari here, we were serving lemon juice after Narasimha Chaturdashi. Now, it's not one of the toughest of fasting days. Janmashtami is up to 12 o'clock. Narasimha Chaturdashi is up to dusk. And Abhishek, then Kirtan, Abhishek, then class. And previously, we used to give a break for everybody, go down, drink your juice, then come up, then class, and then the feast. So everybody is eager to break fast, at least with lemon juice. And of course, devotees in the ashram all day, you could be working in the kitchen or here and there. So we had a full, two tank full of lemon juice to be distributed. And we were giving. And finally, both the tanks were finished. And I asked, do you have anything spare? Any more lemon juice left? So yes, for the kitchen staff, we have two buckets. So, we took a little bit from that, whatever we needed. And then this devotee shared, he said, normally this is one service which I always avoid. Because I feel terrible after fasting. My body's need is for more liquids. So I do some heavy service after this. But today there was nobody or whatever, so since you were there, so I can't say no. But the funny thing is, I normally keep 2 full bottles of lemonade only for me. I go to some quiet place in the temple, and it's a reward. So sip it slowly and enjoy. Today I thought I cannot break my fast at dusk time. Why? Because we have to serve everybody else. And then all these 2,500 people, they take juice and then they go. And to our horror, there is nothing left. So I was thinking, mar gaye, why did I say yes to this service? But then you asked and somebody in the kitchen said, yeah, we also have something left. Now this is my second glass and I'm feeling actually one glass was enough. So he's asking, what happened? Why I am not craving for those 2 full bottles? Why? This is not natural. I said, I don't know. Maybe Krishna has given you this higher taste. Not maybe, surely. So any time, make an inventory. You won't be wrong, I won't be wrong, Bhagavatam won't be wrong. While performing devotional service, the only blissful moments are those where you kept somebody else's interest in the front of your interest, served them, Krishna was pleased, and you are happy. Now take another inventory of those times where you selfishly put something only for you. Keep a piece of cake or some laddu or some sweet or whatever only for me or something. And then compare the enjoyment. So you get the object but not the bliss. And sometimes you miss the object but get the bliss. So transaction wise, if the profit is more, any businessman would go for that. So this is the crazy mathematics of bhakti. I put somebody else's interest in front of me. I do something for them. I don't get that object. Why am I happy? I shouldn't be happy. Otherwise, you covet something, keep it close to your chest, and say, why I can't enjoy it? So Prabhupada, thankfully, he has given us this thing. Maharaj clarifies here. Maybe I am going through that, or a few years ago I went through that. Nowadays it is not that severe. But after following the rules and regulations strictly for some years, a point of time comes when you feel, let's close the engine, the thing will go on its own. No. In mid-air, you cannot put your aircraft engines off. Kabhi itna to aa gaya, abhi kya hai? Thoda fuel bachate hain. Let us save some fuel. No. Regarding what is it regarding? That this is a question which was asked to Maharaj. Even after years of practice, sometimes why we lose faith? After all, we are putting faith in. There is one wrong thing which I did, or maybe I am still doing, but I am just confessing before a body of devotees. I go before Radha Gopinath and say, you want my service, right? Okay, I am putting tilak, kanti mala, this dress. I am Krishna's devotee, so you want my service. Haan ke na, correct hai ke nahi? You want my service, right? So you have to give me faith. So if I don't have faith, which means you are not giving me faith, which means you don't need my service. So if I commit some mistakes, it's your fault. Maharaj took out that thorn from my foot when I read this thing. He says, please, sir, try to understand. Krishna doesn't require anybody's service. What do you mean he doesn't require? He doesn't love you? Of course he loves you. That's why he comes as an incarnation. The only motivation for the incarnation is compassion. No other mood, no other sentiment involved here. Kripaya Parayavishta. Gita first chapter. Krishna started speaking just out of compassion. And compassion means saturated love. Not just simple, oh, I love him. No. Compassion is I feel for him or her. I would like to help him or her. So Krishna, if he requires my service, that means he's dependent on my service, then I'm almost equal to him. He's not dependent. If he wants, he can have an army of servants much better than me. So, this misuse may occur. Why? Brilliantly, Maharaj points out in his seminar, he takes this verse, Ichchadveshamutthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. I have seen this verse utilized in so many ways. It is like an indicator, like a yardstick. Ichcha and Dvesh are the two emotions which make us come in this material world. Ichcha for what? Sense gratification. And Dvesh for what? Serving Krishna. They both go hand in hand. You can just not have Ichcha only. Dvesh has to be with it. So regarding faith, Ichcha is to become one with Krishna. What does it mean to become one? You say, I hardly had any desire to become one with Krishna. Or a classic one. Shishirada Gopina Chikija. When Prabhupada went to teach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, Nartaki Mataji, had you heard the word Krishna before joining Prabhupada? No. So if you ask any Westerner, why are you envious of Krishna? I said, me? Envious of him? I hardly know him. In India, two people could be saying, I'm not envious of God. Let him enjoy here, there, let I am enjoying here. We are both at peace. Just see what kind of intellectual adjustment is required. The desire for some sense gratification is envy of Krishna. Bob Cohen, who became Brahmatirtha Prabhu, in that nice conversation which became perfect question, perfect answers, Prabhupada asked him, so what is the goal of your life? What is your ambition? My ambition? Simple life, some job, a wife, kids. He says, what kind of job and what kind of salary? He says, simple, I'm qualified. So he says, So you want some money? He says, I am earning it. Whose money? Prabhupada said, whose money are you trying to get? He says, my money. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is the original enjoyer of all money. All wealth belongs to him. Now that was a revelation. That, it means everything we see around, there is already an owner. I never knew that. I just thought that this plot of land says, Mr. Ramesh Pawar is the owner and trespassers will be prosecuted, so Udhar Mat Jana. In this flat it says Mr. Shetty, Udhar Mat Jana. So we divide Krishna's property between ourselves. Those who do not encroach upon others' property are seen as honest people. Those who do that are seen as dishonest, even among these dishonest people. And that's why Prabhupada said four thieves, they looted some cash from the bank. And when the police finally closed upon them, they found them in a room. And somebody saying, distribute honestly. At least distribute honestly. Honestly, the whole loot is from the bank. So the living entity comes here and says, I never knew Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Like the sun, moon, stars. Where is it said that this belongs to him? Do we know any place where everything belongs to Krishna is explicitly stated? Yes, where? Isha vasyam idam sarvam. One sentence. Just see the effect of Vedic knowledge. If somebody is conversant with this one sentence, Isha avasyam idam sarvam. It doesn't say 35%, 70%, 90%. Everything belongs to Krishna. And that's why sometimes when you get this knowledge, you say, it's too depressing. I lost my chance. So knowledge can be liberating and ignorance can be exhilarating. But ignorance is the one which causes more and more karma bandhan. So Ichha is, desire is to become one with Krishna. And the other part, the other side of the coin, hate, is envy of the position of Krishna. Very nice language. I really like the language Satvar Maharaj is using here. What is the hatred for? The position of Krishna as a supreme enjoyer. Somebody has to enjoy, is it not? In one purport, Prabhupada says, demons always say, hey, this world is unreal. Are kuch nahi hai yahan pe sar, nothing, everything is asar, everything is unreal. But they're very expert at making plans to enjoy this temporary world. If everything is false, give it up. You say, I might as well use it. Nobody is doing anything, so I'll just use it up. So, what is the nature of Krishna being the supreme enjoyer? Is it like he just sits on a throne and says, hey, you cook for me, you dance for me, you sing for me? This is, at least for many years, I was having this kind of understanding that it's easy to be God, right? Just sit there and tell everybody what to do. Only when Narad Muni's example came to understanding, Krishna as supreme enjoyer is like a stomach being the supreme enjoyer of foodstuff. We all have stomachs. Pet ka sawal hai na? Wrong. Papi pet ka sawal hai, people say. Why papi? That poor thing is just working day and night. The stomach is given food. The hand does so many things. The leg does so many things. Work, 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 all the karmendriyas. And once your meal is over, you say, now I'm thak gaya abhi, I'm tired. So the hands are like this, legs are lying lifeless practically, eyes are closed, brain keeps working, the stomach keeps on working. And after some time, whatever enjoyment, whatever foodstuff the stomach has received, it makes sure that it is passed on to all parts of the body. Have you ever done like this? Hey, they're still the same size, exactly. Who decides that growth is uniform? Why is it not like this? Your one hand is growing, other is not growing. There is harmony. Imagine if the stomach doesn't churn, process, divide the whole thing and give all the energy back. So I was shocked. This is how Krishna enjoys. He takes everything from his servants and gives everything back. So then I realized, I just like the first part of taking everything. But seeing that everybody gets that part back, that's a very difficult thing. Pranopahara chethendriyanam sarvaranam achyut ijja. Narad Muni says, just like a root. While watering the tree, the only concentration is on the root. But what does the root do? Supplies water to each and every nook and cranny of the tree. So Krishna's enjoyment is, Krishna is not a selfish person at all. So when he says, do it for me, do it for me, offer your obeisance to me, offer your obeisance to me, Arjuna, do everything for me. It is simply a sign of compassion. He is saying, you want to enjoy, right? So chant my name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. For what purpose? So you will be happy. And it takes so much time to come to this realization that all this thing I'm doing, I'm actually doing for myself. I get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, follow the rules and regulations, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is actually for me. I am the prime beneficiary. Normally, Prabhupada's language in his classes is no sense gratification, no sense gratification. Once, however, he took this angle, sense gratification is not denied. Don't think that once you come to Hare Krishna movement, your senses should not be happy. Hey, I'm happy. Ha, I'm happy. It's like a bad thing. No! We are meant to become happy. But we are meant to become happy by keeping Krishna in the center. So, to finish this discussion about faithlessness, Maharaj then ends his thing by saying, is there a time where we can get faith without argument? In the sense that, I don't need to do any mental adjustment, any intellectual adjustment. I just know. He said, yes, it's possible. Prabhupada's description of faith is, trust in something sublime. Sublime means pure, udatta, something higher than the material way of life. So the initial struggle is to establish ourselves on that. How does one put that faith in something sublime? When all around we have an atmosphere surcharged with faithlessness. Don't believe anybody. Don't believe anybody. We say, yes, that means you believe in him, correct? If somebody says, there is no need of any guru. You say, yes, you are accepting him as a guru. Please understand that. So there are modern day gurus who say there is no need of modern day gurus. The reality is, everybody needs a guide. We just have people who are so frustrated that in their frustration they become the gurus of their negativity. And they attract people with similar negativities in their mindset. Sasarup Maharaj adds here, in times of despair, and these will come, just like a nice railway journey, suddenly sometimes your train is in a tunnel. Or a very nice quote I read a few days ago, that you ask Krishna, please help me, and sometimes Krishna doesn't seem to respond. Why doesn't seem to respond? Is he teasing you, or is he thinking that enough, I have done enough, now you're on your own? So this one thinker said, when there is a test, isn't the teacher silent? Normally, every day in the classroom the teacher is speaking. Mathematics, he's teaching you like this, he says every year this fellow speaks for 4 hours every day. But today's unit test is going on and you're writing the test. Sir, this 6th A, should I choose B or D option? Because it's a test, the teacher has to be silent. Before the test, he always speaks. After the test is over, he always speaks. So, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, not only for Arjuna, but for you and me. And we need to read this dialogue. We need to understand what Krishna spoke to Arjuna, what Arjuna asked Krishna. Why?
So that when our Kurukshetra opens up, that time we should remember the lessons, because that time nobody is going to help us. You may say, this is not fair. Why? This is how you pass all your exams. An exam is not something which you decide, right? You tell the board, 15th I'm going for a picnic, so 16th I'll come. So, no! We decide what is the examination date. So similarly, in our lives also, we won't be deciding, Krishna, you can give me a heavy test today because I'm very prepared. No. The test comes. Sometimes there is a surprise test. You may say, can you tell me when actually it's going to happen? Then where is the surprise then? Surprise means surprise. It has to be a surprise test. So I like this kind of thought process that on the test day, the teacher is silent. But we need to be ready. So, first thing, existence of great spiritual teachers. Why do we have diverse kinds of spiritual teachers everywhere? Look at their lives. Look at their trials. Look at their tribulations. It's easy to see Prabhupada in DVDs where he is grandly welcomed at the airport, giving a rose to somebody, giving a cookie to somebody, sitting on a Vyasasan, giving a class. I'm a bit strange, as you already know. But 1972, 71, 72 onwards, Prabhupada's lectures, when they end, so Prabhupada says, thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Check out some of the lectures, 66, 67, 68. And Prabhupada says, so Jan, thank you very much. Silence. Devotees were not even trained up that you have to glorify Prabhupada like that or whatever. That day we were reading, somebody was reading Lilamrit. Prabhupada went to Stony Brook College in New York. And 250 or 300 was the capacity there. And in America, here also you have auditorium seats. They automatically close. When you sit, they are there for like that. When you get up. So Prabhupada began his class with the whole auditorium full. And he gave a short class, 35-40 minutes. And as he developed one point after another, the only sound coming from the auditorium was doop, 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 doop. At the end of his class, there were 24 people staying there, remaining for the class. So I was thinking, whoa, sometimes you feel only 75 people came to my class or only 25 people came. It happens even to the founder Acharya. He also kept on progressively giving classes even when people were listening or not listening. So it's not true. The point I'm trying to make is this, that when you become the person sent by Krishna to propagate Krishna consciousness in this world, still you have to go through all these phases. There is no magic wand. There is no magic word. And then, suddenly you are a Krishna conscious devotee. No. It's a process. To just summarize, this is the incident where the demigods admit that we sometimes put obstacles. We tried to see the obstacles from our point of view as a test given by Krishna. We have accepted this process of Krishna consciousness, which is the goal of Vedic wisdom. We are surrounded by an atmosphere of faithlessness because this is Kali Yuga. And how do we come out of it? We remain on the path. We accept that sometime these tests will come. We also accept the fact that when the tests will come, the teacher will be silent. We will take the help of other devotees. We will use the teachings which we have already assimilated. Two specific pitfalls we will avoid. Ichcha, Dvesha. the desire to become one with Krishna and hatred of Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord. We keep the examples of these spiritual, great spiritual teachers, how tirelessly they went through their trials in life. And I'd like to end with one question which one devotee asked Sasarup Maharaj. He said that sometimes I have doubts whether Krishna is God or not. And they said, hey, Maharaj, you can't say that. Some new bhakta can say that. He said, I'm sorry, I have to be honest. It's a struggle. So then you may find, you attend Mangalarti every day, you are dancing, you are chanting, you are reading, you are writing books, and still the doubts come. Yes, the doubts are not in my control. The rebuttal, the remedy is in my control. So when you say, how come I got fever? Ho gaya abhi, medicine le lo. Many times people waste a day or two. How come I got this? Why are you anybody special? So thankful, I am so thankful to Sasarup Maharaj for being so candid. He is giving a seminar on obstacles on the path. He is writing something about faith. And at that time, this is old seminar, 1990s maybe. And he said, yes, sometimes that doubt comes. But then he also gives the remedy, what to do to counter that faithlessness. So I would like to end. Sorry, I went way about time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.